Our New Testament reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, and it reads, "Now concerning food to the idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though they may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and through all things, whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us closer to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of the idol, might not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food acceptable to idols. So by your knowledge, those weak believers from whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, food is a cause of their falling. I will never eat meat, so I may not cause one of them to fall." The gospel, well, the scripture of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. I come to you today with a sermon that asks a question. Are you puffed up or built up? Let's pray. Loving God, we stand before you today in awe of all that you do. And Lord, we pray now a prayer of blessing that this word will inspire our hearts and minds and give us food for thought and guidance and direction. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you puffed up or built up? In a moment, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it out loud. But for now, what I'd like everybody to do is take that question that I just asked and tuck it in your mind someplace. Don't hide it in a place where you won't find it, but put it in a place where you can retrieve it by the end of this message. And once you do, I want you to answer it honestly in the way that we find. And so, church, today, as we go through this message, we're going to figure out the difference between what it means to be puffed up and what it means to be built up. And the challenge is going to be, and this is where the honesty part comes in, for you to determine which of those categories you fit in. And so the question that I have for you today is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to look at yourselves honestly and answer the question at the end about whether you are puffed up or built up? What is your answer, church? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. We'll see how much honesty we have. Today's scripture lesson, the one that came from our New Testament reading in the book of 1 Corinthians, we find an interesting conversation taking place. For you see, the Apostle Paul is in a heartfelt discussion with a group of people. And as we follow the words of Paul through this scripture, what we find is that this particular group of people have done something that has caught his attention, and he felt the need to address it right then on the spot. And so as we read through it, there are three observations that jump right out at us. The first observation that can be made is that the group of people that Paul is speaking with are people who have been Christians or followers of Christ for quite a long time, as far as the chronological account of the church is concerned. The second observation that we make is that these are people, the long-standing Christians that we just mentioned, they have a very good understanding of the law of God, particularly when it comes to the things that are acceptable and are not acceptable by God. And then there's the third observation. This one is relative to the topic that the Apostle Paul is addressing in his discourse. What he's saying to this particular group has to do with something that either one of them have said or something that one of them did that caused him to take notice that may or may not have been in alignment with the way God wanted us to carry ourselves, particularly when it comes to people who have just become brand new followers of Christ. And so this is where we begin. And so, following the flow of this passage of scripture where we entered into it, Paul has gathered this group together, and he's a bit annoyed about what he heard. For you see, in this, some or one of the members standing amongst that group of long-standing followers of Christ or Christians, Paul begins his speech by saying to them, "My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope that what I'm about to say is not something that will come to you as a surprise, but we seem to have a problem that I must bring to your attention regarding the things that are offered to idols." Now, you and I know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge is a wonderful thing to have. But I must caution you, for you see, knowledge has the ability to cause some of us to become puffed up. And here's what I mean by that. When one has a great deal of knowledge, we sometimes forget that there are those who may not know as much as we do, which also means that they may not understand things the way that we understand things. And at the end of it all, if we use our knowledge improperly, there's a chance that people will hear us and see us and are left with the impression that we're all puffed up, that we're full of ourselves, because we can't communicate with them. Take, for example, what happened just the other day. We all know that idols are nothing more than just statues, which have no power. And the food that's left to the idols and the offerings themselves are meaningless. We all know that. There's only one God, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there are those who have just recently made that leap of faith. They've just begun taking those baby steps towards becoming followers of Christ. They've just came and said they just committed their lives to Christ. And they have not yet reached that place where they've learned this. that the statues and the idols and the sacrifices are meaningless. And so in their minds, these idols and the things that are sacrificed to them still hold some sort of a sentimental value or sentimental meaning to them. And while they are going through this process of learning and growing and learning about what it means to live a full life in Christ, we who have knowledge must be sensitive to that. Because when you see them, when they see you eating food that has been sacrificed to idols, the idols that they once worshipped, the idols that they respected, the idols that have been around them since their childhood, if they see us eating food and disrespecting their statues, they may lose faith in the God that we worship, the God that we've just introduced to them, because their faith is still weak and their understanding of God is still in its early infancy stages. And when we do that, when we eat food and disrespect their idols in front of them, what we're doing is we're becoming a stumbling block for them. Because at that point, we're driving them away from God and back to their old ways of doing things. It is our job to help them clear the path so that we can bring them closer into a life with Christ. And you see, beloved people of God, if by our actions, which are harmless, because we know that this is a meaningless gesture, if by our actions we cause someone who's new in their faith or weak in their faith to fall away from Christ, know that we have sinned against our fellow brother and sister, but we've also sinned against God, and we're going to be held accountable for it. And then Paul continues. He says, as for me, I take this matter very seriously. Bringing souls to Christ is what I have dedicated my life to doing. And I take this so seriously to the point where if I discover that by eating meat, if I am turning away one person from God because of that, I will never eat another piece of meat again. I am willing to make this sacrifice because I love God so much, and I understand that this is what God has called me to do. But it doesn't stop there. Paul continues and he says, if we Christians, if we followers of Christ, have been around for such a long time and are filled with all of this wonderful knowledge that God has given us, we know that we have been called to reach out to those who are exploring, who are lost, who are confused, who are wandering, who are even just simply considering becoming a part of God's life, becoming a follower of Christ. It is our obligation to walk alongside of them, to take them by the hand, and to take this journey with them, teaching them what's right and what's wrong, teaching them what's acceptable to God, sharing our knowledge with them. The knowledge that God has given us, we are to use that to build them up so that they too can become all that God had desired them to be. And as we begin this process of preparing those who are new in Christ for a life that they are destined to have with God, be reminded of this one thing, that it is a transformation that will not take place overnight. Building up someone is a gradual process that takes time. Just because they walk into the church the first day doesn't mean they're going to go from sinner to saint just because they gave their life to Christ. We must be patient with them, walk with them, and encourage them even when they fall. And then Paul brings his speech to a close as he dismisses them by saying to the crowd, "Go in love and in peace of Christ, which guides us to build up one another as we seek to equip each other for a joy and love and a continuous life in the Lord Jesus Christ." And I can see him finishing by saying, "Amen." Beloved people of God, the question comes back to us. Are you puffed up or are you built up? To answer that question, we are going to have to spend a few moments taking a close look at ourselves and the way that we reach out to those around us, the way that we reach out to those who are just coming to Christ for the first time, the way that we reach out to those who are coming back to Christ to renew their faith because they have fallen away from the church for some reason, whatever that reason might be. And as we do this, the questions that I challenge each of us to reflect on in our own heart and mind and to take seriously is this: when I reach out to them, do I do it with my knowledge? Do I do it in such a way that I show you how much I know about God and how much you don't know, so that you can see the difference between me and you and you'll have to strive to be like me? Or do I use my knowledge to reach out to them in love, to walk with them, to guide them, to help them over the stumbling blocks, to encourage them, to nurture them into a transformation so that God's love will be experienced by them? The first one is simply being puffed up. The other one is being a person who's willing to build someone up. This is the question that only you can answer. And I can't even help you with the answer to that one, because you know your own heart. You know how you speak to one another. You know how you speak to those who you encounter in your journey of life. And so with that, Paul taught the early Christians that this is what we do. When we approach people with someone, when we approach someone with knowledge only, all we prove to do is to give them the illusion that we're full of ourselves, that we are puffed up. It comes across almost as bragging. I know more about God than you do. And then what ends up happening most of the time is people kind of get turned off. Many times I've had conversations with people who had fallen away from the church, and you ask them, "Why won't you come?" "Well, you know, I don't really know as much as everybody else does, so I don't want to be embarrassed when I get there." I never knew there was a quiz to come back into church. And to be honest with you, if there was a biblical quiz that was put forward before all of us were to come to church each Sunday, the church would be empty and most of us would not be here. Probably yours truly as well, being honest. I had a bit of a moment at Bible study this week when I confessed I cannot name the books of the Bible off the top of my head. I can tell you there are 66 of them. I can tell you there's a bunch in the Old Testament and a bunch in the New Testament. I know where to find them. They're in the Bible. But what would I gain by standing on the street and reciting the books of the Bible to somebody who's having a hard time trying to find their faith? Or do we approach people using our knowledge, using our wisdom, using the things that we have learned about love through our walk of faith to encourage people to come to help, to build them up, to encourage them to be a part of this wonderful experience, our Christian faith. And the last and most important part of that, that Paul brought out, is the part of us having to be careful. Because if by chance we say or do something that causes somebody to walk away from the church, to falter in their faith, that we have done in the name of the Lord, God will hold us responsible for that. And so, beloved people of God, God is calling us today to live into that great commandment, to reach out, to draw people in, to walk alongside people, to help people with their faith so that they can grow the same way we are growing day by day in wisdom and faith. And what will end up happening is you will see more and more people drawn in, not because of your knowledge, but because of your love. Beloved people of God, where are you in this walk? Are you puffed up or are you built up? I want you to wrestle with that question. And if by chance you discover that you show signs of being puffed up, just simply go to God in prayer and ask God, how can you use that wisdom that you worked and acquired all your life to be a blessing to those who need to be blessed? And if by chance you find out that you have been built up and you're the kind of person who constantly does that, then by all means, go full speed ahead and reach out and touch people's lives with love, because there are so many people in this world right now that needs more love than they do knowledge. And so, beloved people of God, I leave that for you as your challenge. Go out and show the world how much God loves them. Amen. Pray with me. Loving God, we thank you so much for reminding us that sometimes we make it a little beside ourselves. But Lord, bless us and inspire us that we may be faithful to all you call us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.